Let's see here. Let's go to third, not St. John, but third John. This is your book to memorize. You can memorize a whole book of the Bible. It's only one chapter. Come on, amen. I'm challenging you to memorize a chapter of the Bible before the end of the year. Got a month. I've been saying it now, 2 years. You can do it. You can memorize a chapter and a book with 3 John, right? What? Memorize a chapter of the Bible? Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. If all you did was memorize just one chapter all year, you'd have that in your heart till you die. You'd have it. You know, how can you be saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years and not have a chapter of the Bible memorized? It's a misappropriation of the Word of God in your heart. So just say, you know, I'm going to commit. It's just a verse a week, whatever, however long it takes you. But just say, I'm going to get that in my heart. I want to get God. How many of you want more of God's Word in your heart? Yeah, more of God. How many of you want God's Word in your children? Yeah, then do it. Do it. How do you feel qualified to judge anything and you don't have a chapter of the Bible in your heart? This is why we're so easily deceived and led astray. Jesus and my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so get this in your heart. So 3 John. And actually, before I read that, let me say, I want to talk this morning, just give me a few minutes, but I want to talk this morning about redeeming generosity. Everybody say redeeming generosity. Redeeming generosity. And next week is our once a year vision offering. We do it once a year. We've done it for 21 years. Your church has turned 21 years old last month, November. And so next Sunday is our once a year vision offering where we ask God's people to pray. And it really fuels and propels the vision for what we want to do in our church and even outside of our church for the next year. Right now, our vision builders have already pledged, I don't have the exact number, but I think it's over 1.2 million towards the vision. Can we celebrate our vision builders and say thank you to all of them? And, but I want us as a church to understand spiritual generosity. And I really believe the Lord has called our church to really be a part of redeeming generosity and practicing giving to God in a holy and biblical and righteous way to Jesus. That when we do it, it's righteous and it's holy and it's sacrificial to the Lord. How many of you want to be a part of a church that gives like that? Like we give biblical and holy and righteous to Jesus and really redeem all the nonsense that surrounds generosity and really go back to the basics and go back to the heart of giving to God. And so I want us to approach next Sunday with prayer. Everybody say prayer. With joy. Everybody say joy. And sobriety. Everybody say sobriety. Meaning if we're doing something, we know why we're doing it. If we're going to give to God, we're not doing it out of some manipulation or some guilt or some emotion that lasts till it doesn't. But we're giving with joy, we're giving with prayer, and we're giving with sobriety, knowing what we're doing, giving this to Jesus. Somebody say amen about that. And so I want to encourage this week families to pray. My family will be praying every day together about our gift to the Lord. Couples, I want you to pray. If you're single, I want you to pray. And Joanne and I will walk into this church with our family next Sunday with a sacrificial gift like we've done for 20 years. And Joanne and I have always given a sacrificial gift to the Lord. It has to be sacrificial. Everybody say sacrifice. The moment you remove the sacrifice, you remove the fire. Something has to burn. Something has to burn. You know what they did with your offering in the Old Testament when you brought it? They burnt it. Can you imagine bringing your tithe to the church and like, praise God, and then we set it on fire in front of you? But that's, they didn't have, you know, like cash or cards. They had, you know, livestock and things like that. And so that's what they did. They brought it, they killed it and set it on fire because it was an offering to the Lord. Well, we could have done this with that. I could have done it. You gave it to God. They literally set it on fire. Like your kids, you give them 20 bucks and they set it on fire. It burns a hole in their pocket, right? But that's what they did. You can't have fire without sacrifice. See, we want God. How many of you want God to set your life on fire, right? You want God to, but is there anything flammable in our heart? Is there anything, is there any oil in our heart that is flammable? And, you know, we have a heart to pay off this building. It's already more than halfway paid off, but how many of you would love to see our church be paid off, our church building pay off? Anybody want to see that happen? That would be a miracle. And it's 4 years old, and it's a wonderful thing when we trust the Lord with things that only He can do. And I don't want to hand to the next generation. Joanna, I have a heart to hand to the next generation a facility that is debt-free. We don't want to be like America and hand down a bunch of debt to our grandkids and great-grandkids. I don't want to hand down a burden. I want to hand down an asset and say, launch off our shoulders. Amen. And we want to help other ministries. We do. We send checks to help other churches get paid off. We send checks to help build orphanages or whatever it is. And you say, well, you guys got your own debt. Why would you send them 150 grand? Why don't we keep that and pay off our own debt? Because that's how the kingdom works. The kingdom is not a kingdom where we just think of ourselves. In the kingdom, we're people that turn the other cheek. In this kingdom, we pray for our enemies. Some of y'all didn't say amen to that. In this kingdom, we pray for our enemies. Amen. Yeah. In this kingdom, people don't have to love us for us to love them. It's the kingdom. In this kingdom, you know, when you need something, you provide it for someone else. Oh, I need that. Yeah, do that for someone else. In this kingdom, when we're in lack, we don't hold on to our last penny. We sow our last penny. Everybody in this room has some, all the people serving you today have something else they could do for themselves. But they sow their time, their treasure, their talent. And the kingdom works completely opposite of the world's kingdom. In this kingdom, you don't kill and talk about people and tear down people. You bless your enemies. In the kingdom, we don't, you know, persecute. When we are persecuted, we return with prayer. We pray for those who persecute us. That's who we are. Everybody say, that's who we are. That's who we are. And I want all of us to come next week with that sense of joy and excitement and sobriety. I want you to pray. I've been asking you to pray for months now, but I want you to pray every day this week and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And I want us to bring a gift that's soaked in prayer. And I have been giving to the Lord since I was a child. How many of your parents gave you an offering to give when you came to church? Anybody? Do that for your children. Don't let that end with you. You know, pass that legacy on to your children. And I've been giving since I was a child. And I can honestly say Psalms 37 and 25 is true, that I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. How many of you, God has been faithful to you in every area of your life? God's been faithful. And so I just want to talk to you. Just give me, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And I'm not talking to you out of correction because I think we have a very generous church, but I'm talking to you out of a heart of redeeming generosity as the body of Christ and helping lead by example, leading other churches and other believers to give through the heart of God towards his people. And I'm going to read this verse here, 3 John verse 2. It says, but beloved, I wish above all things. Everybody say above all things. So it's not just one of the things. It's like the thing. I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health. I mean, if you want to be in good health, I know I do. And be in good health even as your soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. In thee, even as you walketh in the truth, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Let every parent say amen. Amen. And so this term, in terms of prosperity, I think there's been a lot of, over the years, I mean, I've been my whole life in church. I've heard the most craziest nonsense prosperity preaching you've ever heard in your life. And there has been a lot said in the church over years that was just, I think, out of order. I'm talking about the church and global. And I've seen people manipulate people to give and manipulate situations, and I've seen it. You've probably seen it too. And I think that that's wrong before the Lord, and people who do that are going to stand before God one day and give an account for it. And we all will stand before God and give an account for everything, but I think in the same regard, Satan really gets like a win. Satan gets this win-win with people when he does it wrong like that, but then there are people who go, because this person did this wrong, I'm now going to be in disobedience, and I'm never going to obey the Lord. I'm never going to church. I'm never going to serve. I'm never going to give because this person was wrong. So now, because this person sinned, now you're in sin. Because you're walking away from all of God's word because of somebody else's disobedience. And you see how Satan really can manipulate people? It's like, you know, because so-and-so got a divorce, you're never going to get married. You're just going to live in sin because somebody did it wrong. I saw how they got married. I saw their marriage. So I'm going to live in sin because of how they did it. And you violate the word of God because of somebody else's mistake. And now you're in sin. Does that make sense to you? And I've seen that happen in people over my life. I've seen people walk away from the promises of God and live in disobedience because of somebody else's disobedience. And someone else's sin is not an excuse for me to sin. Right? What is the old saying? Two wrongs don't make a right. An eye for an eye makes everyone blind. That's another one, right? And so I want to explain this to you because we do serve a God that wants us to have a great life and prosper and be in good health. How many of you believe that? Right? Prosper and be in good health. And all prosperity means, the word prosperity actually means good road or good journey. But I always say prosperity is having enough to meet your needs and having enough left over to help somebody else meet their needs. How many of you want to be able to fund what God's called you to do and help somebody else fund what God's called them to do? Wouldn't that be a win? And so I think God wants us to have a good journey, but I just want to communicate this to you because we do not serve a God that does not suffer. We serve a suffering Savior. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And as a believer, you're going to have to learn how to like reconcile these two things in your heart. That God wants us to prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers, but then there's also this side of suffering that we've got to learn to navigate as we grow close to Jesus. And we're going to have to embrace God's definition of goodness. And God expresses goodness via suffering. And it seems sometimes to make no sense. And we're going to need to hear in the Spirit today what I'm saying. Your mind's not going to understand necessarily. You got to hear it in the Spirit. When you come to church, say, God, speak to my mind. You have to say that. Renew my mind. How many of you know the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? There was a time you thought just going to church on Sunday was crazy, but God renewed your mind. Standing and lifting your hands, that's insane, but God renewed your mind. Come on, anybody with me on that? Like serving in church, what? That's insane, but God renewed your mind. So when you come into God's house, you need to say, Lord, renew my mind. Let's pray it now. Everybody hold their hands up and say, Holy Spirit, give me the mind of Christ as I walk in the Spirit. Yeah, and I heard a pastor say the other week, he said, suffering is like Holy Spirit fuel. It fuels you. And there's so much joy and goodness wrapped up in suffering. And you know, people say, why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you ever heard that? One theologian said, there's only been one good person that something bad happened to, and he volunteered. And the older you get, I don't know how you feel, but the older you get, the more you step into what Paul said, oh, wretched man am I, who can deliver me from this body of death? You start to want to just shed this flesh. And you're like, I just want to be with the Lord. And I just don't want to, I want to have my mind focused on him. And you get your mind off of yourself. What's that old song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. The things of this world grow dim as you put your focus on Jesus. The closer you get to him, the less the things of this world will matter. And it's not about not valuing yourself, but it's not spending all day thinking about yourself. Amen? And that's what we need. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they instantly thought of themselves. Oh, I'm naked. I. That's the first word out of their mouth after they sinned was I. And God was like, who told you? Sin makes you look at yourself. Well, I don't have this, I don't have that, and all that. It's selfishness, selfie. That's why every time you take a picture and people show it to you, you look at yourself. I don't like how I look. Do another one. And it's just that mindset of like, that's what sin does. Sin makes us look at us, you know, and we think we become, it's not that you shouldn't value you. I'm not saying to value yourself less, but what I'm saying is we need to think of ourselves less and think of others. Think of the Lord. This is union with God, and suffering has this way. God has this way of taking even bad things and turning them around for the good. Right. How many of you ever lost a job and then you're like, oh, this is terrible, and then God gave you a better job? You're like, oh, this is great. Like, come on, you realize that you live out Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And that's what I'm saying. God has a way of taking the suffering and turning it good and shoving it into the wounds of our heart and our life, and somehow he makes it good. Has anybody experienced that in your life? You know, John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16? Please say yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Believeth in him shall not perish. How many of you think that verse is good? Yeah, but it has death in it. Great verse. It talks about death. It's prosperous, but there's suffering in it. And how many of you think it was good that Jesus was whipped on the whipping post for our healing? How many of you think that was good? It was a good thing, but the whipping post itself was not good. We celebrate Every time we partake of the table of the Lord, that he is by his stripes, we are healed. And we say, God, you're so good. But it was also horrific. It was also suffering. And this is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. God wants you to prosper and be in good health. But with that, there's also this suffering side. And I think so many times we just get into some kind of like situation. We think God's left us. God's not with us. God's not for us. And God's not that. No, it cost us something to walk with God. It's a sacrificial life. There's a suffering in it. And when you go through those difficulties or those challenges, and it's not all the same for everybody. Somebody's might be finances. Somebody's might be sickness. Somebody's might be relationships. Somebody's might be their past. Whatever it is, some of you know we all suffer different in many ways, but we're at some point, all of us in here are saying, God, I'm suffering in some area of my life. All of us in here need the cross. All of us in here need Jesus. And so we have to learn, how do we navigate this? How do we work through this? How do we honor God in this area of our life while we're suffering? Proverbs 10:22, I love what the Bible says here, that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Because we don't want just money and we've lost our marriage. We don't want money and we've lost our children. Our children hate us, hate God. That's no win. But see, when the blessings of the Lord come on your life, you'll still have your marriage. You'll still have your children. You'll still have those things in your life. How many of you want God to bless you and be rich, but that you still have no sorrow in your life? Somebody say amen about that. And I don't mean just rich with money. You'd be rich in mercy. God is rich in all kinds of things that we're not rich in. You know why you get mad all the time? It's because you're poor in mercy. You are in poverty when it comes to grace. That's why you get so angry. Fly off the handle in a moment because you have no mercy. God is rich in things that God paves heaven with gold and values mercy. God would want to be rich in mercy. You'd want to be rich in what? See how he values different things? When you start putting your focus and your heart on Jesus, your values change. And I think when we give to the Lord, you know, I was talking to a pastor friend the other day, and he was saying that he had a member come to him, very wealthy, and they had told him, they said, when I give to God, I take very seriously giving to the Lord and funding the things that God has called me to fund and do the things that God has called me to do, and I seek God on it, and I pray about it, and I seek the Lord on it. You've got to take giving to God seriously. Giving to God seriously. Like, this is a big deal to me. Like, I soak it in prayer. I ask God to direct me. I want to be in alignment with what he's saying to my heart and what he's speaking to my life. And let me tell you this. Please remember this. Never, ever, ever be manipulated into giving. Ever. Don't ever let someone manipulate you into giving. And never, ever let someone manipulate you to not give. Because you can get on YouTube and watch a bunch of deconstructionists. You'll get on this one in social media and you'll let tons of people manipulate you into not giving. And it's just as wicked as somebody manipulating you into giving. When you give to the Lord, you do it out of joy, you do it out of prayer, and you do it with sobriety. Somebody say amen about that. Amen. And when you serve, you do it out of that heart. I had somebody tell me the other day, oh, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to church, or I'm not serving God, I'm doing, you know, for me. I said, that's not in the Bible. None of that is scriptural. I know that makes sound good to you and you're trying to justify your actions, but it's not biblical. Now, I still love you. You know, I still love you. I care about you, but you're operating outside of the word of God. You're operating on your own knowledge. This is why Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Don't justify not being in God's house, justify not serving God, justify not giving to God because you're thinking about yourself. That's not the kingdom. That's the God you made up. That's not the God that made you. Amen? Don't let people manipulate your own thoughts or make you reject the word of God or shut you down because somebody got it wrong. People are going to get things wrong. What? Yes. People get food wrong. You still eat. Outbreak, E. coli, on all McDonald's. That line, I'm not saying that that happened at McDonald's or anything. I don't know what happened. I'm just saying people could say something about a restaurant or food or whatever, and people still go. Come on. People are going to get things wrong. You get things wrong. How many of you love your spouse and you've got it wrong with them? Your children, you love them. You got it wrong with yourself. How many of you ever messed yourself up? You're like, man, did it to myself. It's terrible when you hurt yourself. It's like a sense of betrayal. Anybody ever cut themselves or hurt themselves, smashed your finger in the door, and you did it to you? And you're like, what is happening? I bit my tongue the other day. And I thought, man, God, we got to have unity in this head. Do you understand? Like, we got to come together. It's just like, it's just this feeling of like, what is happening to me? So people are going to mess things up. You can't throw away the whole because of one person's mistake. We all learned that in Minneapolis, that maybe we shouldn't get rid of the police department because somebody made a mistake. We might need police. Minneapolis is still not the same. Maybe we shouldn't just get rid of all churches because somebody messed up. Maybe we shouldn't just not get married because my parents and grandparents messed it up and now I'm going to just live in sin and fornicate the rest of my life because so-and-so did it wrong. That's not an excuse. Just because somebody else messed up does not give you the right before God to live in sin. Y'all can't say amen. I'm going to say it anyway. You got to go to the Holy Scriptures and say, God, I need you to show me. And you're not perfect. Let's follow you around today. Let's take the broadcast team and just say, let's follow them around and pump that online. Let's see the tip you left the server. Let's see how you acted when they didn't bring you the food you asked for properly. Let's just sit down with you when you do your taxes and just videotape it and post it. Praise God. Let's just see how you are at home with your family and your children and how you act. Yeah, all of us real quick are like, you know what? I'm good. Let's forgive. Come on, can I get an amen? Yeah. Let's just put your social media up here real quick. Take a look at it. Let's all judge it. Yeah, you're like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I was angry. I'm just saying, people are going to make mistakes. Parents or whoever. But it doesn't give us the right to negate the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Yeah. Okay? And so when we look at giving, we're not going to let people manipulate us into or not. We're going to do it out of prayer. This is how God's called his church to be. Come on, can I get an amen? Out of prayer. And we believe in giving to God. We talk about tithing. We believe in tithing. I had somebody the other day, they're like, well, tithing's Old Testament. I said, tithing existed before the law. Before the law, hundreds of years before the law was ever written, there was a tithe from Abraham to Melchizedek. It's in your Bible. Pre-law, hundreds of years before the law. It also existed in the law. It was also in the law. Three tithes, actually, in the law. And then I said it existed after the law. It doesn't have anything to do with the law. It has to do with love. And Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. So many people have heard that preached. Jesus came to destroy the law. We're not under the law. Jesus says in Matthew, "Think not I have come to destroy the law." Literally says that. I have not come to destroy it, but I've come to fulfill it. And then he says the fulfillment of the law is love. That's what Jesus said. Love. We give out of love. Everybody say we give out of love. We give out of love. This Christmas, you're going to give a gift out of love. Not out of manipulation. I mean, somebody might try to guilt you or something. I don't know. But when you give to your family, friend, you're giving out of love. That's the heart of it. We give out of love because he first loved us. And I mean, every Christmas I say, I ain't going out there and fight with these people. I'm not going out there. And then I got, you know, December 23rd or Sunday 20th, I'm like, I'll be back. Why? Because love makes you give. I'll never forget, I was in Israel with Pastor Ivan, and Alexander Nicholas wanted me to baptize him in the Jordan. And I know that sounds like romantic type stuff. It's not. It's like muddy. It's slippery. It's like the dirtiest. It's like, Jesus, really? Like, this is the one you picked, you know? Like, and it was so slippery. And I'm in the Middle East. There's no changing. I'm in a porta potty now trying to change into something to go in this water. And I start going out, and it is the slipperiest. You can't see nothing. And I'm going out there, and I'm slipping inside. You could have sold tickets to watch me get out there. And I get out there, and I baptize them. I'm crying. They're crying. And I'm slipping, trying to come back up. And Pastor Ivan grabs my arm, and he goes, "Love does it all." So true. Love does it all. That's the heart of why we serve the Lord. It's love does it all. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for, he died for us. You know, and we give. I was telling one person, he's like, "I don't believe in Old Testament giving." I said, "Oh, so you must believe in New Testament giving." I was like, in the New Testament, they gave everything. They sold their houses, their car. Like, so, you read it, you just, but they sold their houses, the land, everything, and they brought it all. I was like, so that's how you practice. He's like, no, I don't practice. I said, so you just made up something then. Yeah, I just made up. I was like, well, praise God. You know, it's when we give to Jesus, we do it out of a heart of gratitude for the Lord. I'll read this and then we'll get ready to pray. Luke 8:1-3. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and a certain woman," even in Jesus' ministry, he had people that didn't get it right. So don't look at like a church and think, "Oh, well, that person on staff did it wrong. I'm not going to give." Jesus had Judas. He had Peter who denied him, Thomas who doubted him. All on his ministry team. Come on, am I right about it? And he handpicked them. They didn't just like wander in and go, "Hey, I'm in." No, he like picked them. And three of them. Even John was a mess up. Remember John? You know, John was like jockeying for a position. Remember he said, "When you come in your kingdom, let me sit on the right." And he wanted to be, you know, a position of power. And Jesus is like, "You don't know what you're talking about." Verse 2, "And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, whom went out seven devils," she actually had seven demons in her, Jesus delivered her, "and Joanna, and Susie," my wife's Joanna, my cousin Susie, "which they ministered unto him out of their substance." These two women funded Jesus' ministry. Where's all the women in here? Somebody say amen for all the women. Amen. The women. Jesus had women. These two women were a big part of funding the ministry of Jesus. Why did they do that? Because out of their heart of love. Jesus had set Mary free. they'd experienced the goodness of God. And I think the right heart, the biblical heart of thankfulness, real thankfulness, you've heard me say this before, is generosity. And just learn to honor. Everybody say honor. Yeah, honor. Honor is not earned. Respect is. Honor God with the first fruits. You honor. You don't. That's why you honor your parents. Some of you don't honor your parents because you don't agree with how they raised you, and that's wrong before God. You honor people because of the position God placed them in your life. God chose them as your parents. Regardless of what they did right or what they did wrong, you honor them because of the position God picked for them to be in your life. And God says, if you do it, I'll give you long life. Somebody say amen about that. Now, you may not respect everything because respect is earned, but you have to honor. I listen to people talk about their parents and what they didn't do right, and I think, you wait till your kids grow up and they talk about, come on, you understand what I'm saying? Like, let's honor. Honor God. We honor the household of faith. We honor people because of the position God's placed them in our life. Honor the scriptures. And if we start taking, if we're going to get into taking people out of scripture, we're going to get rid of people who messed up. We're going to have to get rid of Psalms. The whole book of Psalms has got to go. Because David was a mess. So you might as well get rid of Song of Solomon's got to go too. Proverbs has got to go. Ecclesiastes has to go. Or maybe God just uses broken people. Come on, can I get an amen about that? Maybe God uses flawed people. And we just say, you know what, God, I'm gonna honor you and bring God something. It's Christmas season. It's like my kids, you know? It's like, okay, I am not okay on Christmas morning if you don't give me a gift. Well, Dad, I gave you me. I get that 364 days. I get that. This day, I want something different than you sitting on the couch. I want you to bring something. Amen? And that's what this is. This is saying, God, I'm honoring you. And I'm bringing you something. And so next Sunday when we gather, I want us to come in with a heart of joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
And sobriety. Everybody say sobriety. Sobriety. Knowing that we are giving to the Lord. And let's be a church that is a part of redeeming generosity in our families, in our marriages, in our children. This is a whole month focused on giving, right? A whole month focused on, we're all going to give to our kids. I had this video I played last year. I had these kids come in. I should play it to you. I had these kids, different kids in the church. We told their parents, pastor wants to give you a gift, but he wants you to make him a gift. And so they all made me a gift. And so it was like paper that they colored, you know, whatever. And they came in and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this gift. And they're smiling. And I'm like, this is the greatest gift you gave me. Oh my gosh. Like, look how you drew it. Is this you? And they're like, yeah, it's me. And they, some of them had drew me, you know, or whatever. And then I said, this is beautiful. It's amazing. I said, I have a gift for you. Are you ready for it? And they're like, yeah. And so I drew them a card. So I drew like a card and I gave it to them. I'm like, this is for you. And they're like, like, you should have seen the look on their face. They're like the most disappointed in the world. And I'm like, this is you. I drew me and you. Look. And it was the exact same gift they gave to me. But they were so disappointed with the gift. And I turned around. I gave them a much nicer gift after. I gave them a toy or something. But the point of it was, aren't you glad God doesn't give to us like we give to him? We're the kid that comes in with the color, you know, and like, God, thank you that you don't give to me like I give to you. We serve a good God. Come on, somebody say amen about it. Amen.
Hey, if this sermon blessed you and your family, I want to encourage you to be a Truth Partner. You can do that by simply going to creativechurch.com, /give and partnering with us to help get this message of truth out to more people in our nation and around the world. It is our truth partners that make this a reality. Again, thank you for subscribing to our channel. Thank you for liking today's video. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.